If you're a visitor this morning, it's really great to see you. My name's Andrew. I'm the pastor here. And we have, you know, I'm just looking down. We have people from South Africa. All right, mate. Good day. What was that? We have French. Bonjour. Ça va bien? Italians. Bella, bella. Whatever. that's as good as my Italian gets, but I want you to feel. Any other kind of weird nationalities in? From where? What about you, boy? From Ballymena. We have some Americans as well. Italians or Americans? Which kind? You're so welcome. Which part of America? Washington. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I have family there, actually. So you're most welcome as well. We won't mention the Ryder Cup this morning, other than to say, let's pretend as Europeans that we're all united just for one weekend, will we? And... But Lord bless Rory McIlroy in Jesus' name. He's out on the course as we speak, isn't it? Now, I see you two. If I see you on your phones, we've two avid golfers here, he'll be checking the scores. But it's great to be here. Isn't it amazing that 1 minute in the presence of the Lord can change everything? 1 minute in the presence of Jesus can make all the difference. And if you're here this morning in the presence of, because the Lord is here, isn't he good? Yeah. And right now in the presence of Jesus, it's just... you need to know that his abundant supply is here right now for whatever you need. And it really blesses the heart of the Lord. Thank you, Samuel. And he's given me two. You must really need it. Which one by the end? By the end of the talk, you might be able to tell which one it is. But isn't it fantastic that when you're in the presence of the Lord, whatever you're needed, he loves to bless you this morning. Do you hear me? He absolutely loves to bless you. He loves it when you come close and that you take from him what you need, because he's not a mean-spirited old goat who lives up in the sky waiting to bash you over the head. He's your father who loves you this morning in every way, independent of everything you have done this week, independent of every way that you have behaved. His love has been constant for you because he decided that he loved you first. Isn't that awesome? And so as you sit here today, one of the things I love about being in the Word is that it refreshes us. I'm starting a new series today, so I'm setting up the series for what is going to come. It might be slightly different because I'm going to show you Jesus from the Old Testament next week, but not so much today, a little bit today, because every time we in this church, we're a church that is all about Jesus and his finished work. So don't be surprised that if every worship song we sing is about Jesus, not, oh, Lord, I'm feeling miserable, but you're great. You know, it's like, oh, good for you. We're here to lift up Jesus, because when he is lifted up, Phil said it this morning. Actually, it's great to have Dr. Phil back. He's just back from a week in Vegas, all right? If you're a visitor, you're probably wondering, what kind of church have I set foot in, all right? Do you know, I was just glad he didn't come in this morning with a tiger and a baby. That's what I'm going to say. There's a reference that some of you might know. Married and with his teeth knocked out. That's a movie reference. Actually, I'd never watched that movie. It's called The Hangover. I'd never watched it until my pastor friends, who all love Jesus, like really love Jesus. It's their favorite movie, and they made me watch it. And so, Pastor Marcel, if you're watching this today, it's all your fault, but he's back, and as far as I can see, in one piece. All right, so isn't it amazing? The question I've been asking myself, and it's a terrible movie, okay? So anyone who's watched it, in Jesus' name, heal them, all right? It's funny, actually. So the question I've been asking myself and what this whole series is about, you know, the life that we talk about, that we find under grace and we hear under grace, God is for us this morning, amen? Jesus really, hey, kick yourself in the backside and say, I am loved this morning. Jesus really loves me. I am blessed and I am favored, amen? Some of you need to tell your faces that this morning and remind yourselves that you are loved by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He loves you. And I've been asking myself the question because I started to delve into something last week and I had a moment with the Lord this week. I had a number of moments with the Lord, but I've been saying that all this life, Lord, that we want to see in our church, all the life that you've shown us that's happening throughout Europe at the minute in terms of how you're lifting up pastors and leaders in grace, and we're part of that. It's incredible to be part of that. All that you've promised, I want to see it. I want to see this church move from where it's just our place of grace to it's everybody's place of grace. Remember I said that last week about how we see the people out there today? Because every day of my life, I am reminded that people need Jesus. All right? They need him. They need his love. They need his forgiveness. They need his cleansing. And they need that in their lives. They may not realize it, but whatever they're searching for, it's funny having a quick chat with Phil just about the whole trip that he had away, because he was there working, allegedly, and working. And I'm keeping you going. But it's that sense of, you know, if all the world has to offer, Phil put it better than I could. If all the world has to offer is that, well, then go for it. You know what I mean? Go big and go bold and don't, you know, but it's pretty vacuous and empty, isn't it? And all of that big doesn't actually get to the thing in the human heart, which is we desperately need love. And we desperately need to find our sense of purpose. And that's what this church is about. We want you to discover Jesus, because in him, the whole thing is held together. In him, the whole thing sits. And in him, your future and your eternity is held in his hands. So when you discover him and his love for you, then everything changes. So that's what we're going to talk about in this series. It's about the perfect work of Jesus. And one of the things that is a challenge for me, particularly when you preach grace in Northern Ireland, is I can say the same thing and it's heard differently by people. Do you get that? So I can say one thing and one person goes, amen, hallelujah, I'm all up for it. And somebody else goes, don't you dare put me under the law. All right? I got out of the church that told me what to do. And you're going to tell me that I have to do. And it's not about what is said, but it's how it's received. Do you understand that? And I was asking the Lord this week, going, how do we really help each other? And how do we become people where, because there's an issue that I want to deal with. And it's every issue is always found answered in Jesus. Do you get that? So what I want to do is I want to set up this series today, because I was reading in the Old Testament in Genesis this week. And the Lord, I came across verses that I've read before, but you know when you read something and you go, that's it? And it's something that I know the expression, but I'd never seen it in the old before. So I started to do a little bit of work around it, just started to go, oh, that's interesting. Because the ministry of grace is to roll the stone away, okay? And what the Lord said to me, in your life, if whenever you hear the word of grace come, and you hear we need to transition, church, from your place of grace to everyone's place of grace, and you go, but I that feels legalistic to me, or whatever said to you, what the Lord showed me is there's something in our hearts that needs to be dealt with, all right? So that we can fully experience what the Lord has, all right? But it's, because it's not sometimes about the word, it's about how you receive it. You get that? And so this series is all going to be about you finding another level of freedom. And your level of freedom is going to be found whenever you see Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. And it's going to be in some ways quite simple, but in some ways very profound. And so let me read to you the verses that I want to set up. It's about Jacob. It's Genesis chapter 29, verses 1 to 3. So Jacob went out on his journey and he came to the land of the people of the east. Now, in context here, Jacob is arriving at this place called Paddan Aram. He's just left his town of Beersheba and he comes across shepherds, right? And they're gathering their sheep around a well. And this is just before he meets Rachel. So, and he looked and he saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well, they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. So what would happen is a large stone was placed on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and then the stone was put back on the well's mouth. Now in Genesis 29, the word stone here, it's really interesting because this is a word that you find the whole way through the Old Testament. But here you have in 10 verses, the word stone is mentioned 5 times. Right? And the fact that they have to roll the stone away is mentioned twice. In fact, whenever Jacob actually rolls the stone away, it's mentioned 3 times. Now, it makes absolutely no sense, really, in a story which is mostly about Jacob getting married to Rachel and Leah, unless the Holy Spirit puts it there for a purpose. And it's for us to pay attention to. Because actually, when you start to look in the Hebrew behind this verse, you know, in this church, we love to actually get into the language. We love to look at the Hebrew and the Greek and how the verses actually made sense in the original language. But once you start to look at these verses, what you see is you see the signature of Jesus the whole way through. Remember, we've taught you Aleph Taf, okay? For those of you who don't know, the whole way through the Old Testament, you see Aleph and Taf, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega in Greek, in Hebrew, Aleph and Taf. And it is never translated in by the people who translated the Old Testament. But what we see is from the very beginning, in Genesis 1, the whole way through, you see the signature of Jesus, Aleph Taf, because he then describes himself as, I am the beginning and the end. I am the Aleph and the Taf. And when you look at the Hebrew Bible and you read your way through it, you'll see it littered everywhere. It's continually pointing you to Jesus, going, this is about Jesus. Whenever you see Aleph and Taf, you have to, because it's never translated. And it's literally, I showed you it from Psalm 34, from all over the place, from Genesis 1, that it's the signature of Christ himself, it written into the book. But because people don't see it through the lens, when people were translating and interpreting the Old Testament from Hebrew, because they didn't have the lens of the finished work, they didn't know what it meant. It was just like, what is this? What is this Aleph Taf that is littering the whole of the Old Testament? Who does it point to? But we know from our perspective, it points to Jesus. So this passage is absolutely full. It's the signature of Jesus in the original Hebrew to show his involvement, his presence, and his mark on a verse. Now, I have to say to you that you have to pay attention. I think whenever I read this week, the Lord was saying, pay attention to what's in your heart, my heart, Andrew, and what's in your heart. Because I had a moment this week where the Lord said, the only way that you will fully find freedom is to see Jesus more and more. Because when Jesus is lifted up, who he is and what he has done for you, when you really see the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of his love for you, then you will be changed. Okay? I can't force you, encourage you, tell you. I have to keep pointing you to Jesus and let him do his work. You get that? And if you will have a heart for that and you'll have a mind for that and you'll be open to that, he will lead you to freedom every time. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, so if I read verse 3 again and I put the Aleph Tavs in, you will see them here. Now all the flocks would be gathered there and they would roll Aleph Taf, the stone away from the well's mouth. Okay. Aleph Taf, the water from the sheep, and they'd put Aleph Taf, the stone, back in its place at the well's mouth. All right. So what I want to say to you is this story about Jacob and going to the well, it's not merely a story about a stone being rolled away, but it's actually a greater truth that will really help you. See, the relevant players in this story are the sheep and the stone, but I feel that God is emphasizing a particular point to us as we get into this series at this time of year, okay? Again, setting ourselves up as we head towards the end of one year into another one. And it's simply this: unless the stone is rolled away, the sheep cannot drink. Unless the stone is rolled away, the sheep cannot drink. And I really felt the Lord impress on me this week to encourage you to go in order for you first, because one of the things that actually I need to, it was a course correction for me this week. I'm going to be really honest with you. Because one of the things that the Lord showed me was that even in preaching grace year after year and pointing you to Jesus, sometimes the reason why we don't receive in fullness is because there's still law in our hearts. And in order to fully receive, and in order for you to drink, the stone has to be rolled away in order that you can drink. Does that make sense? And so listen to the Holy Spirit in your life today, and listen to the Lord in your life today, because the word of grace and the word of God's of unmerited favor for you is an incredible word. But what will happen is, even as the word comes, when the stone is on our hearts, I'm going to show you what this word means in a minute, it's brilliant, all right? When that is in our hearts, what happens is you're unable to drink. And so what we do is we don't go, oh my goodness, because it's in all of us, all right? But we have to say to the Lord, show me in my heart the bits that need to be rolled away. And what does the law mean? We'll come to it in a second. But I really felt the Lord say, over these next few weeks, I'm going to reveal Jesus to you again, what he's done for you from another bit of the old. I'm going to show you and ask the Lord as we go through this, just Lord, roll away the stone in my heart that keeps me from being able to drink this full life, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, perfect. So unless the stone is rolled away, the sheep cannot drink. So let's have a look at this word for stone, all right? Generally speaking, in Hebrew, the word for stone is eben, E-B-E-N, all right? In Genesis 29, 3, 8, and 10, the words that's used in these chapters, it's the words, hey, Ben, all right? Hey, Ben. Hey, Ben. There's Ben at the back. Hey, Ben. Okay, so what happens is the Hebrew letter for grace, number 5, is put on the front of the letter. And it's very significant because this form of the word for stone only appears 20 times in the Old Testament. So whenever the Lord's saying you've got to roll the stone away, it's a particular word that he's using. And some of the verses where this version of the word is used are incredibly significant because it'll show you what the Lord wants to do in your life. Because it's not a stone that you pick up like any kind of stone. When the Lord says that in order for you to drink fully of grace and fully of Jesus, the stone needs to be rolled away, it was only a word that was used very little. Haben, if you want to know what a transliteration is. The same words used in Exodus 24, verse 12. God tells Moses, listen, that he will give him tablets, Haben, of stone with the law, right? Interestingly, in the second giving of the law, in Exodus 34, the word Haben is not used because God gives the stones. But when Moses has to go and get the stones, so the stones that the law was written on was not Eben, it was Haben, right? And this is what the Lord says you need to roll away. You also see it in Ezekiel 11, 19, and 36, 26. When, you know, when God says he will, you know, the hardened hearts of humanity, you know, he talks about our hearts being hard, right? He says you've got a heart of stone. It's a heart of Haben. It's a heart of law, right? Interesting. And then in Zechariah 4, 7, I said this before, it says, you know, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he says, when you see your mountain, shout grace, grace at your mountain, all right? The vision that the Lord declared at that stage was that these Haben would be brought down, would be overturned, okay? This is the vision that he gives Zerubbabel, by the shout of grace, all right? Now that's cool, okay? So the Lord's saying something to you here. These three verses that all the time have been used, okay, at different times to really put actually people under law, actually is what Jesus here in this verse, because he's all over, are going, you need to roll this away, actually. It's time to roll this away so that the sheep can drink. All right? So the very stones that were the law was written on, does that make sense? Number one, there's loads of them, but these are the ones. The hardened hearts. It doesn't mean that your heart is cold towards God. It just means that your heart is centered on yourself. You've got a heart of law. All right? A heart of I first and then Jesus. He says you need to roll that away or you're never going to be able to drink. And then when you've got a big mountain, okay, it says that that mountain of Haben, of self, will be brought down and will tumble, right, with a shout of grace. And so my encouragement to you is this, because I really... You know, I said last week that I believe that our church is at a crossroads, and I do believe that, all right? But I do believe that actually what we will not do is to help us all on the journey, is we will not falter from preaching Jesus alone, okay? Jesus, who he is and what he has done. Because every time Jesus is lifted up, a part of the stone in your heart is rolled away so that you can drink. Do you get that? So ask the Lord in your life, what is it that needs to be? Where am I not seeing this fullness? And which bit of the stone is still stopping me from receiving? Because before you can receive fully the word of grace, you have to roll away I, which is the law. Is that making sense? So every time this word Haben is used, there's a greater spiritual significance. It's not just about it being a mere rock. The stone represents the law. But it also... everything that comes with your attempts to follow the law, okay? So bitterness, anger, self-reliance, hardness of heart, distance from Jesus, all of that stuff, all right? So what we do know, and I've preached this 100 times, so I'm not going to go over it. We do know in this church that the law was never given so that you could be better. The law, it says in Romans 5:20, the law was brought in so that trespass might increase. That we understand, all right? So what we see is this, that the stone on top of the well here is the law, and that is about what it demands from you. The law always demands. It demands from bankrupt men that which they cannot provide. It puts us in a place that we cannot possibly fulfill what it demands of us, but it was never meant to do that anyway, as we know. It was always meant to show us Jesus, always meant to show us our way out. So that's what this stone is. I want to encourage you, wherever you are at in your walk with the Lord, over these next weeks and months, what the Lord showed me is that he wants you, as you sit under the word of grace and you see a bigger picture of Jesus from the old, because that's where I'm going to preach from, when you're going to see him and what he has done and his sacrifice for you, that you just ask the Lord, take away the stone in my heart that's stopping me from receiving. And that stone is self. All right? The only thing that nullifies grace, according to the book of Galatians, is self. It's not your sin. Amen? Because what does the Lord tell us? Every time you sin, what abounds? Grace. In fact, it super abounds. All right? Because before you were even in the family of God, he loved you. So your sin has never been an issue. And in fact, right now, as you stand in the family of God, as a believer, receiving Jesus, your sins past, present, and future are all forgiven. Amen? That's a good news for somebody this morning. Completely forgiven, whole, righteous forever. That's a word, isn't it? So what happens then is that in this place of being where we should be able to receive, self comes into the middle. And that's what the Lord says. You need to roll that away. You need to roll you out of the way so that you can drink from me. Let me just quickly talk about the water because it's a quick talk this morning. Why is the water spiritually significant here? Well, it's interesting that water is necessary for life, isn't it? But it's more than just life. Water has the power to cleanse. It has the power to sanctify you, to make you clean. It has the ability to refresh you and to renew you. In fact, in Ephesians 5:26, the word, the Bible itself is compared to the word of God to water, speaking about how Christ loves the church. And like, here's these verses, let's just read them. Jeremiah 2:13, it says that the Lord refers to himself as the fountain of living waters. In John 14:13-14, it says, when Jesus sees the Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of this water, him will never thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give but the water that I shall give him shall become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life, all right? So water associated with Jesus is always identified as living, all right? It says this in Isaiah 44:3. He says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. So it's about refreshment. It's about renewal. Where you feel dry, where you feel parched, it's about you come to a place where you are refreshed and renewed and cleansed and sanctified because that is his grace. Amen. No matter how empty or dry you feel, that's the significance of the water. And actually in Isaiah 58, I was reading all sorts of verses about water this week. It was brilliant. He goes even further and it says that the water that Isaiah 58:11 says that this living water makes you strong so that you will not fail. What about that? Come into a place of grace, come into a place of Jesus and his work, and finding not only are you cleansed, sanctified, refreshed, renewed, but you're strengthened so that you will not fail this week. Isn't that good? That's a good word for somebody. This is Jesus. This is who he is. This is the living water that he describes. And this is what's in the well, but it's the laws on top of it. I love this as well. It's interesting that there's significance. I want to talk into this later on. It's significant that this is Jacob who comes. You know that Jacob means supplanter or replacer, the one who will replace. And this word Jacob shares the same etymology, the same root as the word as the name James. So it's significant. Why? Because Jesus, the Son of God, okay, the God of Israel, who will become Israel, he comes and he institutes a new covenant over the old. So Jesus is the true replacer. That's the point, all right? And he's the only one who can bring us into the new covenant. So it's interesting that it's Jacob's well and he replaces a picture of Jesus who will come and completely replace the old with the new, right? So there's imagery all over the place when you start to look at these verses. But underpinning it all is the Lord saying to you this morning, I love you. I want you cleansed, sanctified, justified. I want you to be truly free. I want you to be renewed and refreshed every day, and I want you to be strong so that you will not fail. So drink from me, all right? But you got to get the law off, all right? Roll back the stone. And so that is my encouragement over these next few weeks. What's all the point of this? Well, I keep saying it. For you and I, who are the sheep in this story, to drink the water of life, which is Jesus himself, we have to roll away the law and the demands that we have and we feel in our hearts. And those demands manifest themselves in so many different ways. They demand, if you have the demand of provision on your shoulders, the demand for your future, the demand for your health, the demand for family resting on your shoulders right now, what you're going to find is as long as you carry that, you cannot drink from the fullness of life that's in Jesus. You get that? That's why he says just roll it away. If you carry, then he can't carry for you. And I just had that sense of frustration this week for people going, I keep hearing this word of grace, but why is it that I can't drink from it? Why is it that I can't say it? And the Lord went, because you got, before you can receive, you've got to roll it away. Now, we're all at different bits of the journey in this, but I know even in my own heart this week, having to recalibrate and rethink and go, seriously, Lord, why in my own heart do I find myself back around this particular mountain when you said that you would remove that with a shout of grace? Have you ever, has anyone ever felt frustrated that way? Okay. Well, maybe it's just maybe time just to, this week, just to say to the Lord, actually show me in my heart, Holy Spirit, show me the bits in my day where I come before you. I put myself before you and I therefore feel the weight of all the responsibility that was never mine to carry anyway. And show me how when I do that, I nullify the grace of God in my life and don't walk in the fullness of the grace of God in my life. Because only then do we start to experience real freedom. Do you want to see how Jesus did it? In John 11, 39, we read this. It says, roll the stone aside, Jesus told him. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been dead for days. You know this story? The smell is going to be terrible, stinking, as we would say, leaping. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. I love this story. I love the fact that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. When we read into the story, normally three was like when you really knew in those days. So after three, they would have done so. But four means really completely dead, all right? I mean, this guy is done. You know, he's not coming back. You know what I mean? It's like the details in the story are really important, all right? But immediately when the stone is rolled away, and immediately after Jesus calls him forward, Lazarus was awakened. Lazarus was, you pesky wabbit. You know, Lazarus, that's quite hard to say. Lazarus was, okay, smart people. Why don't we all hear you say it? Lazarus was awakened, come on. Sitting laughing at me as I get up and preach. Let's hear you have a good rattle at it then. I'm waiting. Come on. I see you're saying Lazarus was resurrected as well. I'm going to say it every time. When Lazarus got up, okay, when Lazarus got up, do you know what it just tells me about this? What I love about it is wherever stage you're at in the journey, okay, it doesn't matter how dead you feel or how dead something really is in your life. Do you get that? It doesn't matter. Because when Jesus rolled away the law for you, all life was given in a moment. Do you get that? I need to encourage you this morning that there is life behind the stone, even though it may feel dead right now. Do you get that? And it doesn't matter to you how you feel about it. It doesn't matter to the Lord, sorry, about how you feel about it, about the fact that there are situations right now, there are things in your body, in your mind, in your families, in your circumstances that you might say are too far gone. And the Lord says, let me tell you something. If you get out of the way and roll back you, I am going to do amazing things for you in these next weeks and months. Do you get that? That's the story. That's the power of rolling back the law. Because when you roll back the law, life comes. It doesn't matter how awful you think your sin is or how dried up you feel. As soon as Jesus is there and he calls forth life, life comes. Do you get that? Somebody needs to encourage themselves this morning to say, right now, Lord, if it has been me in the way, I want to get out of the way. Roll that away in my heart so that I can see your freedom. Because there's situations that you're looking at right now. Can you imagine the people when Jesus comes along to Lazarus? And they're going, are you serious? It's stinking in there. He's been in there for 4 days. Look, you have no idea. And see to the Lord, he looks at it totally differently, doesn't he? He goes, what are you looking at? See, I don't look at it the way that you look at it. I look at this Hey Ben, okay? This Hey Ben stone with the law written on it, because the law was death. That's it. The law was the ministry of death. But it says in Corinthians now that we have a ministry of the Spirit, which brings life. Amen. So whenever we roll back anything to do with the law, there's always life. Always life. Now, let me be perfectly clear. I'm not saying that the law is wrong. Do you get me? The law was just could not be kept. The law served a purpose and it needed to be fulfilled. We are not a church that preaches antinomianism. We are a church that preaches that the law was fulfilled in the work of Jesus. Amen? That he was perfect. So don't ever think, well, the law is not necessary. Well, actually, the Lord gave the law, but he also knew in giving the law that there was no way that we could keep it. So that's why he gives a savior and a way out. His name is Jesus. And so what we say is all the demands of the law, I couldn't meet, but he met them for me. Amen? And so as he is, I can receive. It's so important to have that. You know, there are people outside these walls today who preach grace and go, the law is irrelevant. No, it's not. The law was kept. The law was perfect in everything. It just was impossible for you and me to keep it. That's why we needed a savior. So we're not anti-law. We're just in a covenant which goes, that's already been met for us. That's really important. Do you get that? Because there are crazy grace people who go, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. That's why we preach Jesus, all right? We preach Jesus because he fulfilled every dot for us. And so here's what I felt the Lord say. I felt the Lord say that for some of us, there are things where you go, behind that stone, behind me, okay, it just feels dead. It feels like there's nothing I can do to affect this or to change it. It feels like it's too far gone. It feels like it's been there for a while. It feels like there's no way this is going to move. And the Lord said, well, let me at it. Let me show you, because when Jesus comes, the point is when Jesus comes and the stone is rolled back, life comes out. That's his promise to you. Do you know that? That is his promise to you. The second thing very quickly is this, that Lazarus couldn't come out. Life couldn't come out until that stone was rolled back. I've said it about 50 times because that's that. This week I said to Penny, the only thing I have going around in my head for Sunday, and it's a lot like me because I had another sermon planned for this morning. But the Lord kept coming back and go, roll the stone away, Andrew. Roll the stone away. The ministry of grace will come, but you've got to roll the stone away first. Because people may have received, but the stone still sits over the well. All right? So take that stone away. Because if you want these sheep to really drink, then that stone can't be over the source. Do you get that? And so what I want to encourage you for, no matter how much Jesus is supplying and reaching out, okay, if you focus on yourself, it'll stop that life from flowing within you. You'll end up stuck where Jesus doesn't want you to be stuck. But actually, when we see Jesus, his righteousness, his provision, whenever we allow him to fill our minds and our thoughts, whenever we have this moment of, you know, last night I was just making dinner because, you know, I do that every weekend for the family. And while Penny's sitting somewhere, I don't know, with her feet up, doing stuff. I don't know what she's doing. There's me slaving away in the kitchen, right, for hours, making steak. And, I'll tell you what happened for me last night. Our neighbors must think I'm nuts. I'm going through a wee phase. Now, I don't want you to judge me. Where I listen to a lot of 80s music, okay? Take on me, take on me. And it's not just I listen, I love it. I really love it, okay? Adam and the Ants and all. Seriously, Bon Jovi, you name it. And so I cook singing this stuff at the top of my lungs, right? I'm going to get leg warmers and those things, you know that, remember? And those things that go in your head, remember those? I was trying to explain this to the girls. Who remembers Spencer trousers? Can you ever remember these? Flecky Spencers. Used to be these with multiple pleats on the front and all that stuff. You remember that? See, I have all this going through. Some of you are looking at me. The guests are going, you're absolutely bucked off crazy. I get it, but bear with me. So I've had these 80 nights going on in my kitchen while nobody else is around. And you know what? I don't care. Judge me all you want. It's awesome. You need to come along and experience it. It's like an 80s disco. Right? I'm telling you, and every song's a winner. They don't write music like that anymore. I sound like my father now, don't I? It's like everyone's a great tune, and you remember the words. And so there's me normally on a Saturday night bopping around the kitchen. There's a point to me telling you this. And with this, I'm going to finish, actually. And so I've actually looked forward to it. Spotify 80s playlist. Oh, yes. Bring it up to me. No, don't judge me. And last night, I just felt the Lord go, why don't you just put on something different? I was like, Jesus, this is my moat, you know? And I don't think our neighbors can see us in the kitchen, which is a good thing, all right? But I put on Pastor Prince, just ministering last night. And I had this moment of going, you know, I need to take some moments actually in the middle of all my fun. It's not like this is not fun, but it was, I just put on this just time of worship where pastor's ministering. And it's just unbelievably powerful. And the presence of Jesus last night in that kitchen was unbelievable. Like I had a moment almost face to face with the Lord. All right. And it was interesting for me because I just it was weird. I just felt the Lord go, no, right now. He said, roll away the stone in your life, Andrew. How do I do that? Get into my presence. Because in my presence, when I'm there, there's life. So as much as Spandau Ballet are phenomenal, right? You are gold. I've got all the moves, right? I've got it all going on. Seriously, don't judge me, all right? It's brilliant. Oh, listen, don't get me going, sweet little mystery. Oh, man. But in that moment, honestly, I put on Pastor and just thought, it was just a YouTube video of him ministering, okay? And honestly, I felt the presence of Jesus. And for 20 minutes, all right, I just was in the kitchen in the presence of the Lord. Kids, I don't know what they were doing. Penny, who knows? right? I didn't care because I just felt the Lord. And here's what was interesting for me. I don't really know why, but I just felt that prompting of the Holy Spirit in that moment to go, fill this place with the presence of the Lord. And so he's ministering away. I'm like caught up just worshiping Jesus alongside. And because I just felt the Lord say, just roll away this stone in your own life here. All right? So I don't even know specifically what the Lord was doing, but I just felt, see, by the end of it, right, I could have leapt through over the house. All right? Of course, Penny comes down, where's my dinner? And I'm going like, seriously? Do you not get that this is like Jesus in here right now? You know? How frustrating is that, you know? Yeah, don't tell her this. She's on kids, so let's keep it our secret, okay? She comes down and criticizes my potatoes, and I'm like, honestly, do you not know that the Lord was here? They might be slightly crispy, but I met Jesus in the making of them. But what was lovely is, in that moment, I even how I felt differently going to bed last night. I went to bed last night and slept. Like I said to Ryan this morning, I could have been dead, I didn't know, but I put my head on my pillow and I woke up this morning, literally, boom, and just felt so rested, all right? Because that's what the Lord does. So my encouragement to you is this week, see whenever you feel those moments, I didn't even realize probably the stuff that was going around in my head last night and stuff about this morning and work and blah, 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 blah. You know all the stuff, nah, 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 goes round and round and round. And the Lord just goes, you need to be in my presence because in my presence, everything you need is right here, okay? So all this stuff is you, and you're not drinking of grace. So why don't you just roll away that stone and see Jesus, all right? And so for me, I'll send you the link to pastor ministering. It was absolutely, it's beautiful. 6 years old, but the presence of the Lord as soon as he starts, boom, incredible. So if I can encourage you, for me, last night, even this was days after I prepared what I was going to say this morning, the Lord encouraging me with the same thing. Because there's water today that I'm not drinking that I want to drink. Anyone else? There's life today that I'm not living in that I want to live in. Amen. There's health that I'm not experiencing right now that I want to live in. There's hope for me and for my children that I'm not currently full in that I want. Amen. And the Lord just says, but it's all there. When I'm there, I call it forth. It's all done for you. Okay, it's all there, but the only thing that stops grace from fully flowing is self. All right, that's it. So roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. and let the sheep drink. I promise you, as your pastor in this church, you know, we will always do that for you. You will always find a place in here that when you come, we will take away everything which stands in the way of Jesus so that you can see Jesus for yourself, who he is and what he's done for you. And in that place, find yourself refreshed. That's our promise to you as the leadership of this church, that Exchange Church will always be a place where Jesus is lifted up. Amen? The places where the stone is rolled away so that you can see and drink and be refreshed and renewed. So this week, listen to the Lord, all right? Also, if anyone wants a copy of my 80s Spotify playlist, I'll make that available online because that alongside Pastor Prince is an awesome combination. That's all I'm going to say, all right? Don't judge me. I tried the 90s, but it's just not the same. It's just not the same. It just wasn't good. We missed something in the 90s, I think. But when we get back to the 80s, man, come on. That's awesome. So why don't you close your eyes? And here's what we're going to do. Paul, could you play for us? This was me setting up the series proper, which starts next week, okay? And the series next week is going to be about Jesus and his work. A little bit like the centered series, I'm going to do some more stuff from that particular bit of the Bible. But just take a couple of moments. And I'm just going to, as Paul plays, what we do to finish is we take communion. It's about Jesus. It's about the top of your week. And it's about we then do our giving and we worship. But just take a couple of minutes to sit here in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to speak life over you. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I'm going to allow Jesus himself to show you the life that he has, the health that he has, the wholeness and the prosperity that he has for you and for your children, for your family, the hope that there is for your future, the fact that you are eternally safe and secure, that you can never, ever, ever go outside his love for you. Because when you're in Christ, you're sealed forever, perfected forever, the word says. And so in that place of safety and protection, you are free to rest and to receive. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak. We just pray over this church, Lord, and over these people and their families. Lord, we pray life and favor and blessing. I pray love and health and wholeness. I pray fullness in Jesus' name. I pray those areas of your life where you've been afraid to let go and to let God move, I pray that today you will see that there is life for you on the other side. And as you fully trust yourself into the arms of the one who's given it all for you, you would be assured of his goodness for you. Right now, that supernatural assurance in your heart that you don't need to hold on, you can let go and let God. I pray right now, Jesus, that you would reveal yourself as true and strong, as the one who loves unconditionally and consistently. Father, I pray that you would speak into every... What is your area of greatest need right now? What is it? Because I want you just to picture Jesus in front of you right now. And he says, cast your cares unto me. Take it in your hand. Is it your health? Is it your finance? Is it your family? Is it a child? Is it a business? What is your greatest area of need? Do you see it? I just want you to see yourself with that in your hand and you just cast it to Jesus. He's standing right in front of you and he says, let me take that. Let me just take that from you. Take it. And you just give it to him so that you can be free. So Jesus, I pray this morning that in every heart, that the stone would be rolled away. The stone that brings condemnation and guilt and shame, self-reliance, self-effort, tiredness. Father, we roll that away off your people in Jesus' name. Jesus, would you this week, in the way that you do it, everyone an individual, Lord, every need an individual need. Father, would you minister and speak and show exactly who you are and what you've done in every situation for the people in this church. And I speak supernatural rest over you, supernatural peace over you. I speak wholeness over you. I speak life over you. I speak Jesus in all of his love and glory and beauty.